You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Load the car and write the note. Grab your bag and grab your coat. Tell the ones that need to know. We are headed north. 1 foot in, 1 foot back.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 73. TRC stands for The Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, username at RUBRChickens. My name is Buck, and I'm your host. I am joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man, and tonight we will be discussing our favorite holiday cookie recipes and sharing our favorite memories from last week's Thanksgiving festivities. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. I was just out cleaning my andirons and in anticipation of Santa's visit.
I got a question. Who are you and what have you done with Buck?
Our world has been turned upside down here in the last few days. I mean, we don't have the winning streak anymore. I was thinking maybe we'd, you know, do like an NPR kind of show.
I thought maybe you were going to do, I think somebody suggested this one time, I think maybe you ought to do the entire podcast is hosted by Pam Ward.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. This is Pam Ward. I was working on my over Thanksgiving with my nephews.
We're following the 6-6 Gamecocks as they enter bowl season.
We'll be in Birmingham at the Birmingham Bowl, where they'll take on the Bowling Green Fighting. What is Bowling Green? Anyway, I was doing
the Falcons.
I was doing with my nephews. I was doing a Frank Martin the other night. I could do it as Frank Martin.
What you got? Let's hear it.
now you put me on the spot. I can't do it. They're rubber chickens. This is Coach Frank Martin. I would tell you, Sindarius Thornwell is a tremendous basketball player for us, but we need some help on the boards. So that's all I got right now. But Sindarius Thornwell is really an easy Frank Martin thing to say, you know. Sindarius Thornwell, yeah.
How would the head ball coach say Sindarius Thornwell?
How you doing, Sin?
he wouldn't try to pronounce the whole thing.
Yeah, he'd come up with a nickname.
Timmy, hey, Thorny. Hey, come over here, Thorny.
It'd be Thorny. All right, so we had a football game on Saturday against Clemson University.
Clemson.
So we'll talk about that a little bit. It wasn't completely unexpected, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week in the pregame, is because you know, every year for the last 6 years we've expected to not win this game, so because we're pessimists, so nothing that happened Saturday should have come as a shock. And honestly, it felt like, I can't remember, I don't think I wrote this on the blog, but it felt like a 1990s era South Carolina Clemson game. Then, I mean, it kind of felt like you could sense that they were more talented across the board, and we did just enough to hang around, but you just knew we weren't going to win.
Yeah.
Right? Is that kind of the way that's kind of the way the 90s games felt, the ones that we lost. It's like we're just good enough to hang around, but not really good enough to threaten to win the game.
Right. Always on the verge of becoming a rout.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting because we scored a first touchdown with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. And I was thinking to myself, man, we really are in their heads. I mean, they obviously are a more talented team, at least on the defensive side of the ball. And you know, it's probably a wash when Watson's in on offense for them. But I'm thinking, man, we are in their heads. We're going to beat them today because that Gamecock on the side of the helmet, man, it freaks them out. And then as soon as what's his name? The defensive end, the strip sack.
Beasley.
Yeah, it was Beasley, the strip sack. I mean, the momentum just completely turned on that play. And it was like all of a sudden – you could sense they felt like they could win and they were going to take control of the game, and that's exactly what they did. So it was not a pleasant sight. And again, we were within, you know, two scores, three scores most of the game. We have opportunities. We get turnovers we can't capitalize on. We get a first and goal inside the five and wind up turning the ball over on downs. So just a terribly, terribly frustrating day for all of all Gamecocks everywhere. And Dylan Thompson had at the site of perhaps his greatest triumph, probably played one of his worst games of the year, if not his worst game of the year.
Yeah. But then again, on the other hand, you know, we were due.
Yeah.
This team is not a complete team. We've proved that all year long, from the opening drive of the opening game till now. This team's probably ranks up there with like Lou's last team or Spurrier's first team in terms of ability and all that. So it's not a surprise, and we were more than due to have a bad game against them. So I don't know. I expected to be more disgusted by it than I was. I've been more disgusted since the game at, you know, what appears to be our you know, no rush to making any changes to fixing things. So I'm a little worried about that.
Well,
I disagree there, and T-Bone knows I disagree there. But
that's why I said it.
Yeah, but I think that. Yeah, and I also disagree a little bit on the Thompson thing. I mean, he clearly didn't play well, but I mean, he was under more pressure on Saturday than he was in any game all season, maybe with the exception of parts of the Missouri game. I mean, the guy had no time. Our veteran offensive line just got destroyed by their defensive front. And so, you know, it's easy to put the blame on Thompson, but let's put a little blame on the offensive line coach and the offensive line too, but also give Clemson some credit. I mean, those guys are good on their defensive front. The tables were turned. Last few years, we had the better defensive front. Now we see how valuable that is to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. I don't know if it was Kornblut or K-Mac, one of them on Saturday, about midway through the game, tweeted something about all South Carolina fans were, you know, downplaying how good the Clemson defense is. And I tweeted back at him. I said, hold up with that all Carolina fans thing. I mean, we, you know, we talked about it last week, and I wrote about it a little bit. That is they got some NFL-level talent sprinkled all throughout that defense. And what did you say, T-Bone? They got eight senior starters?
They've got eight seniors or fifth-year seniors. I think they lose eight guys off that defense. So
thank God.
Yeah.
That's definitely a plus. But, I mean, that was a huge part of the game. We were better on defense most of the years during that streak, and they were better on defense. And I told a bunch of people before the game, I said, the team with the better defense usually wins this ball game. And it was true. I mean, that's what happened.
So where do we go from here? What's the state of the program, and what do we do to move forward?
How about teach David Johnson to do something?
Take a step forward.
To do anything. And T-Bone and I, we exchanged some texts on this a couple of times on that jet sweep. I guess they're calling it a jet sweep, not a speed sweep, whatever. Right. David Johnson, I think it was on like back-to-back plays. On one of them, he stood in a gap with nobody blocking him, and he didn't attack, and he didn't slide. He just kind of stood there in ready position and watched the back run right by him.
Yep.
Like crossed right in front of his face. And then
the next one, I think he made like a Sasquatch arm swing at him. Whoa. And that was it. Nothing else.
Yeah, we were sorely missing any kind of defensive end play all year.
It's the same thing we've been going through all year, as you're saying. I mean, how many sacks do we have on the season? 9?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we just don't have the guys up there, especially at defensive end. We had some decent tackles, but the defensive end, you know, very, very undersized, under-talented defensive ends. I mean, that's why they tried so hard to recruit those guys who – none of whom got in school. They knew it.
Yeah.
But that's just
– that's where the whole 3-4 thing came from. That's where it all came from.
As far as where do we go, I'll tell you where we go. We go to Marquavius Lewis, We go to Dante Sawyer. We go to Blake McLean, Dexter Wideman. That's where we go. And
well, two of those three names that you, or two of those four names you named, we thought we were going there this year.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, that's why when T-Bone was like, well, why I'm frustrated why we haven't made any changes. Well, they're trying to hold that thing together. I think Spurrier's going about this the right way. He didn't say I'm not going to make any changes. Okay.
Said I'm not firing anybody.
Not firing anybody, but he. You know, some people may be encouraged to find other jobs later on. Yeah, he's right, waiting to see.
That's the Tyrone Nix model. That's what right. He did with Tyrone Nix.
That's right. He's waiting to see who's available. He's seeing what happens with, here we go, Muschamp. And, you know, he's waiting to see what's going to happen. And he's not going to go out there and make any drastic changes and upset the recruiting class. Recruiting is everything, and we've got a very good defensive class on paper committed. So he's not stupid. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. What do you make of, because I mean, I like what you're saying. What do you make of the comment that give me two or three more years? He said that to the state Monday morning. Give me two or three more years.
I think he's talking to the recruits at that point. Absolutely. Yeah,
I think for the first time he has seen the end of the road. You know, I think his 4 or 5 year comment for the last 4 or 5 years that he's been giving is just kind of a throwaway. And I think he can see the end from where he's standing now. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation over the last couple of days that he might retire now. But I never really thought that was the case. But, I when he says 2 to 3 years now, I genuinely believe we'll have a new coach.
Yeah, but I got a couple words for those folks, and there are some folks out there who are saying he needs to go ahead and step away. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm crazy there.
I mean, are we gonna let one of the top coaches in the history of college football walk away if he wants to coach us for a couple more years, knowing that it's going to be a big transition? We need to milk this as long as we can. We've got Coach Steve Spurrier coaching us, guys. He's not like he's washed up. I mean, you saw the offense this year, which is his expertise, and that was a good offense, guys. It was a good offense. Yeah. I mean, with a half decent defense, we go 9-3.
Well, there was a lot of talk about Spurrier not calling the plays for the last 3 or 4 games, I guess. I didn't notice that being a particularly bad thing, except for in small stretches. the chatter that he was, that maybe Junior was calling plays instead of Senior. We had a pretty good stretch of games there offensively, I thought.
Yeah, we did. The other thing there is we are not as sophisticated as we need to be on what calling plays means.
Right.
I mean, they're all on the headsets, and they're like, what do you like here?
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what's being called. He may not be calling. I mean, he knows what the game plan is. He knows what he wants. He's given, I think that's a highly overrated situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't think Spurrier's fingerprints are all over every play we do, then you don't know him and you don't know football. They're all involved in that. They're talking to Elliott. They're talking to Junior. They're talking to Magnet. You know, what's going to work, GA? What do you think? Let's go with a quarterback speed option.
So we agree that we're going to have a pretty good infusion of talent on defense, particularly at the defensive end spot.
We hope.
I think we've got hang on. Excuse me.
Time down.
Right, yeah. Go back and edit that out. Defensive tackle, while we don't have any superstars in there, I think Stallworth and Lamine and those guys played respectably. I think we're fine there. Linebackers will be a year better. You know, corner and safety, we just kind of have to cross our fingers that those guys get better. You know, a year older means a year better. Now, the offensive side of the ball is where all the interesting stuff is going to happen, and I'll save the most important spot for last, but you know, offensive line, G-Man expressed some concerns a couple of days ago about that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think our offensive line was nearly as good this year as we thought it was going to be, or at least they didn't play up to their potential. We got DJ Park, this junior college guy, Paris Palmer, coming in. You know, we've got, I think we have.
We're going to have Matulis back for his eighth year.
Matuzels will be back in there. We've got three centers, I think, still that'll be right. back.
None of which can snap.
You know, the wide receiver position, redshirted a couple of guys, Guger and
Samuel and
Debo.
Davidson.
Yeah. So I think what Shaq Rowland, I'm putting the odds at 50% that he's back next year. I think I just don't know what's going to happen with him. Running back, I think we're fine. I'm about to get some water in a minute. Now, the quarterback position is probably in the entire program that is my biggest personal concern as to what is going to happen with the quarterbacks. So one of you ease my mind on who our quarterback's going to be next year.
It ain't going to be me.
I can't ease your mind. I mean, that's a missed multiple choice. I mean, I guess the front runner is Mitch, closely followed by Orth. Then you've got the freshman, Skarnecchia. Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Did I do that right?
Yeah.
And then you've got the
Nunez coming in.
Nunez will be a true freshman. And then you've got the Pharaoh factor.
Right. That's the question is how far do you go down that pecking order before it is the Pharaoh factor?
Not far.
Is it Mitch, Pharaoh, Orth? Is it Mitch, Orth, Pharaoh? You know,
Or is there a yet to be determined name out there?
From your lips to the football god's ears, to the from your lips to the JUCO god's ears.
Well, or the name Braxton Miller is out there. There's a lot of talk that he will he's going to transfer because of the other cat that took over this year and played so well.
Till he broke his ankle.
Yeah. So, but somebody posted, you know, the nine most likely destinations for Braxton Miller if he does transfer, and we were not on that list.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't see
that happening. I really don't see that happening.
And you know, I think we all agree on this. Chad Kelly is out there. Chad Kelly is an idiot, and we've made fun of him every year that he was at Clemson, but. I think he's leading junior colleges in passing yards and touchdown passes and all this stuff. Hey man, open arms, all is forgiven.
Right.
But I don't think our staff.
You ever wondered what Steve Tannehill would do under the HBC? I mean, I know they got different skill sets, but they got very similar personalities as college kids.
Right.
Yeah, maybe, I would not.
Maybe a Garcia 2.0 there, perhaps.
Right. It might be Garcia with a mullet. You know, who knows?
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
As much as I, you know, would love to see us go the JC route, I don't see it happening. I think they're going to stick with Connor Mitch.
Yeah.
And see if he can play the position. And that's what I'm expecting. And you know, they're going to open it up to those four guys and let them have at it and see who's the best one. And if none of them can do it, they're going to give the ball to Pharaoh and say, okay, run around back there and run to Wildcat. And that's what's going to happen.
What was the year when we started out with Beecher?
NC State, was that 2008?
That may be what we're looking at because you had Beecher and Smelly. And
so you think Beecher, Smelly, Cade Thompson was gone by then, wasn't he? Oh, it was Garcia, wasn't it?
I think Garcia played some that year.
Was that when Savelle played some?
No. That was after Savelle.
We may be looking at a year like that where we go into the fall and we think, okay, maybe it's this guy, and then we just got to wait and see. Does he bitcher out on us?
Well, you know, Pharaoh is uber talented, and anybody who's listened to this show or read our blog knows we love some Pharaoh Cooper. I am totally against him being the starting quarterback unless it's just a complete emergency situation. I don't like the thought of having him in there and having to throw the football. If you look at his mechanics, they're terrible.
And I don't know enough about these other guys to really weigh in here, but our offense as it currently exists, it needs some mobility.
Yeah.
I mean, that was obvious in the Clemson game, so we need some mobility at the quarterback position.
And maybe
something like what Shaw brought.
maybe there's a limited package for Nunez, because Nunez is a runner, and Nunez can, you know, based on what I've seen of his tape, I mean, he can sling it. Now, yeah, you don't want to rely on a freshman. I know you really don't want to rely on a true freshman coming in being your guy, but it certainly happened before.
From what I've read, though, he's a redshirt candidate. I mean,
yeah, he's a project.
Yeah, I haven't. Well, I don't know if he's a project, but he's not the kind of guy you're going to come in and give the reins to. I don't think he's thought of as that highly developed at this stage. I mean, you've had Mitch in your program now for 2 years. I think they're going to see if the guy can do it. I mean, I know none of us have seen anything that leads us to believe that he's the quarterback, but honestly, the sample size is very small. We talked about the first time we saw Dylan Thompson out there in the Vandy game and how we were like, oh my gosh, please never put him back in a game again. And he turned out to be a pretty decent quarterback. So I think we have to assume that they have seen something, or else they would be making some other moves. I mean, we're not dealing with a bunch of idiots on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about we give out some rubber chicken awards? We have got a stockpile of rubber chickens lying around because I don't think we've given any out since the Vanderbilt game. So
are we going to do like season rubber chickens, or are we going to do
Clemson game? Clemson game. We'll do a season rubber chickens after the bowl game. So T-Bone, you go first.
There's just nobody else I could give it to, and y'all are both going to know why, but the rest of our other three listeners are not going to know why, so it's going to be kind of awkward. But I have got to give it both the Clemson game rubber chicken and the rubber chicken of the year, the story of the year, Alfonso de Medici Colombe Lorenzo Oil Cornelius Whammy Ward.
Yeah, he kind of was the story, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was kind of the story of the year.
Yeah. All right. Whammy Ward. G-Man, how about you?
He just won't get off a ward, will he? I'll tell you what. I'm going to just take a minute to say that, no, I'm not a huge fan, but, you know, when we just got through discussing how we have no talent. Absolutely no talent at defensive end, none. And we have freshmen playing cornerback. We have subpar safeties, and we have average to below average defensive tackles. So I'm not saying Ward was a great defensive coordinator this year, but I mean, it's not all his fault. You can't put the whole thing on Ward. And I think that the head ball coach is sort of telling you that by saying, you know, I didn't go out and fire him day one like the, I don't know, a lot of people were screaming for on the message boards. That's reactionary. He's taking a step back and thinking about it. Anyway,
Who recruited all those players? All those players we played this year. Who was in charge of all that? Defensive players.
You're showing your ignorance there, T-Bone. the recruiting efforts are, each coach has a geographic area, okay, around Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, South Carolina. The coaches, you don't have Coach Ward is not assigned to recruit the defensive players.
And you think that Cho Rob is recruiting defensive ends and Ward doesn't have any input?
I think all the coaches have to sign off on offers. Honestly.
Oh, well.
And so even the HBC has to sign off on offers. So if you think that Ward went out and handpicked all the defensive players by himself, then you're way mistaken. That's not how it works.
He's coordinating. I'm assuming
He's the coordinator. He's not the recruiter of record of all the defensive players on the team.
And now,
if you think that, then you just really don't know much about recruiting.
Neither one of you know anything about football. So let's give a rubber chicken award before we just get completely off the rails.
But listen, last thing is, I think we can all agree between the three of us, you know the least about recruiting than the three of us, the least. So that's not really. That's not really your expertise area, there, T-Bone.
Get him, T-Bone. He knows the least about American history. How about that? That would be me.
This is the guy's talking and knows so much about recruiting. He's the guy that can't wait to get Dexter Weidman and Dante Sawyer. I mean, how many years are we going to wait on these guys?
I'll tell you
what I do know about is I do know that Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee and all these teams beat us with players we didn't want. So I don't care how much you do know about recruiting and don't know about recruiting. If you can't develop talent, you're wasting your time.
I agree with you. I didn't say that I love the guy. I'm just saying that it's not as simple as you're making it out to be. It's not like, well, if we had a defensive coordinator, we had a great defense this year. I don't believe that.
So. I do believe that.
I believe that we didn't develop the talent we have, yes, and also we didn't have very much talent. I think it's a combination.
Okay, so if that's the case.
Right.
What do you do about it?
I think you got to get some better players. I'd love to get Will Muschamp in here and move Ward to, you know, I don't know, head Twitter coach. I mean, I'm fine with that.
So we agree that the purpose of this debate was actually just for you to claim that you're the recruiting guru.
I'm just saying that it's not as simple as you and some people make it out to be. Okay, you can't just go fire the coach and say, "Oh, we're going to be better now." That's not necessarily true.
You can. I don't know if it'll work, but you can. About every other freaking program out there that finished with a defense as crappy as ours has already fired the guy and hired a replacement.
And are they better on defense?
I'm sure they will be.
You don't know that.
All right.
So, rubber chickens. You want me to give one for the Clemson game?
You need to give one to Dexter Weidman.
for potential. The potential rubber chickens.
I'll say this. I probably would rather have him playing defensive end during the game than 55, you know, already.
Oh, sure. I'm with you.
I'm going to pass on rubber chicken. I don't think there's anybody deserving other than maybe Cooper because he scored that touchdown. I mean, I give it to him.
He's good.
That's fine. I'm going to give mine to Sky Moore. Sky Moore had a pretty good game on Saturday. Had an interception, even though it was, it's hard to take a lot of credit for a Cole Stout.
Right.
Interception. So.
I was texting with a guy, a Clemson fan, during the game, who's a pretty good friend of mine. We kind of go back and forth a little bit, and I said, y'all need to leave him in longer. We really like him, and he said, I'm starting to believe he's a double agent. So that
he's throwing those interceptions on purpose. Cole Stout is on the take. All right. Well, that was the most awkward rubber chicken award segment that we've ever had, I think. So let's move on. Let's move on to a little post game action, and not in the South Carolina locker room, but in the Clemson locker room. Dabo Swinney comes out and boasts that Deshaun Watson is a genetic freak, and tells the world that he had been playing with a torn ACL. Did not tear the ACL during the game. He tore his ACL on the Thursday before the Georgia State game, so roughly 10 days before they played us. And a lot of talk out there about this. A lot of Clemson folks think it's South Carolina sour grapes. We saw sour grapes a lot in our comment section on the website the last couple of days. Look, folks, just to put it as plainly as possible, we don't like Clemson, okay? We don't. That's a given. Clemson folks don't like us. That's fine. But be reasonable here. He hurts his knee against Georgia Tech. They thought it was a torn ACL, and they thought he was done for the season. They come back a couple of days later, say, did an MRI, not a torn ACL, not going to have to have reconstructive surgery. Great news. Okay. So all we hear through the media is he's practicing, maybe, you know, he's moving around okay. We're going to push him a little harder tomorrow, see what he can do. And, you know, that's what we kept hearing for days and days and days until finally the day of the game they announced that he's going to start. Starts, plays after the game, torn ACL. Why was he even practicing? If there was the threat of – it doesn't matter. I don't care that he played with a torn ACL. I mean, I do. But to me, that's secondary to the fact that he was put in a situation where he was practicing to get ready for the South Carolina game on an injured knee, and he injured it worse. You know, he went from a no surgery required injury to reconstructive surgery, which is a big deal. I mean, that is a major surgery. Okay,
and that's kind of the thing right there. I think you're right on it. People are not admitting that this is a big deal. Yeah. This is not a minor injury. This 10 years ago probably ended your career.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A torn ACL. You know, back in the 70s and probably for most of the 80s, your career was over. You're done. So, you know, the miracle of ACL surgery, people come back and have great careers, it's still a major surgery. And he was in a position where all he had to do was rest it and probably some physical therapy, and he'd be, you know, 100% come spring. But now he's got to go under the knife. So, G-Man, I don't know if you have any thoughts about this or not.
Just a couple, yeah. What an explosion that was. Goodness gracious.
He's referring here to a post on the Rubber Chickens blog, which you two can find.
Yeah. But you can't, you can't comment on it anymore because we had to turn the comments off.
Yeah. I mean, it got a little bit ridiculous on there. I mean, nobody, you know, I'm wondering if they teach reading comprehension at Clemson. Nobody really wanted.
They don't teach that.
No. Yeah. They didn't want to actually read what I posted and comment on that. They wanted to go off on all these other tangents, obviously deflecting against the actual point I was making, which is, Dabo wants to win, and you know, just like any coach wants to win, and so he pushed the envelope, took the risk, whatever, and played him, got away with it, won the game. But you know, all I was trying to do was point out that he is just like everybody else, despite the the image that they tried to portray up there about that place and the way they treat people and all that. So anyway, that's all I was trying to say, and I think it had a pretty good reception. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it did. Yes. And you could not have been more correct. Mm-hmm. And it may be the first time in your life you've ever been this correct, but you were so correct. And I just want to applaud you for your astute observations. Two things on this, though. One is, it is amazing to me that the disconnect people have about this. Think about, and I may get his name wrong, who was the quarterback before Matty Monk? James Franklin?
Yeah.
Right.
James Franklin came out in the warm-ups before our game with them 2 or 3 years ago and said, I don't feel right. And they said, well, what is it? And he said, my leg's hurting. And they said, well, we'll give you an injection. And he said, no, I don't want any part of needles. And they didn't play him.
Yeah.
And Matty Monk played.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you know what happened the next week? He started. Now, think about the difference between that situation and this situation. That quarterback was, they respected his own feelings about his body and everything. And he said, I don't even want a needle in me. And we've got this other culture over here at Clemson where they're like, whatever Dabo meant by you got to put gas in the tank anyway. Yeah. Which that's what he said, which sounded a lot like that quote from the football movie, you're just missing the needle, buddy. You're just missing the needle. It's creepy. Creepy. Granted, everybody wants to win and everybody probably pushes it, and there's a difference between being hurt and being injured, but you gotta put gas in the tank anyway. Yeah. I think it's downright creepy.
Yeah. And you know, to address a couple of things that a couple of the arguments that have been made, and one of the predominant ones is, well, Spurrier did it with Shaw. Spurrier did it with Shaw. And let me tell you something. We're not kindergartners. This isn't, you know, if your buddy jumped off a bridge, would you go jump off of one too? Two wrongs do not make a right. Now, if Steve Spurrier put Connor Shaw in the same position that Dabo Swinney put Deshaun Watson, then Steve Spurrier was wrong and he should not have done it. Okay? If, I don't know that to be the case. You know, what we were told was something very similar to what we were told about Watson was knee injury, sprain, can't hurt it any worse. It's a pain management deal. That's what we were told about Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw, thank God, went out, won one of the great games in South Carolina history, went on to finish out his season, never had to have surgery. Deshaun Watson was not that lucky. You know, I don't know how different the knee injuries were or those situations were, but people are saying, well, Spurrier did it. You know, well, if Spurrier did it and he put Connor Shaw at risk to have to go under the knife for torn knee ligaments, then he was wrong. You know, fortunately, I don't think we're ever going to find out if that's the case or not. We're not saying that it's just wrong because a Clemson guy did it. It's wrong if anybody does it. If you put these 18-year-olds in danger, you know, of hindering their livelihood, their career, and Deshaun Watson's an NFL caliber quarterback. He will be a first round draft choice if he sticks around for 3 years or 4 years or however many. He's got a powerful arm. He's a great athlete. All that kind of stuff. You can't put him in that situation as an 18-year-old. You know, you just can't do it. And you know, if any Clemson folks are listening and you think this is some Clemson, you know, ultra bias, you know, we're trying to be as level-headed and as fair as we can about this. If it was anybody in the country, we'd be saying this, you know. And
what I think happened there is Dabo got excited in the post game, and he did what Dabo does. He talked a little bit too much, and yeah. We saw a truth there that we can just ignore, or we can say, no, that's wrong.
Yeah. And if they go through with playing him in the bowl game,
oh my goodness,
that is going to be a PR nightmare.
Or if they don't play him, that's what's so wrong with the comment. They cannot win now.
Right.
If they play him, that's going to be the whole story. If they don't play him, that's going to be the whole story.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's just nothing about it that's good.
Well, anyway, that's it's neither here nor there. I mean, we got whipped fair and square by Clemson. It's a side story, but it's a very important side story to you know, to how we handle college athletes. And you know, thank you all. If anybody who commented on the blog post is listening, you know, thanks for reading, thanks for your comments, and please don't ever come back again.
If you want more information on this topic, I can recommend a book to you. It's called The King of Sports by Greg Easterbrook.
Yeah.
And it's about what big-time college football does to some of these guys.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why I use the example, the Jameis Winston example. It's not an injury, but it's all about what pressure these coaches are under to win. And he had lost 5 straight games to USC. If they had lost to us again, and I think if Cole Stott plays, they lose again. I mean, he sort of proved it in his 2 passes, right?
Right, right.
So he loses again. He's got 6 losses now. I mean, these guys are under tremendous pressure to win. That's the same thing going on at Florida State. It's just getting ridiculous what they're saying up there about Winston and letting him keep playing. I mean, that was the point of the whole thing. That was the point. And, yeah. And couple that with the hypocrisy of the whole situation or the way they act up there, that's what it was about. So anyway, yeah. Moving on.
All right. Yeah, we will move on from that. I know there are even some South Carolina fans out there that are sick of hearing about Watson's ACL, so we won't bring it up again until next time. So coaching changes. So rumors are we're in a bidding war, potentially in a bidding war for Will Muschamp. Bo Pelini supposedly made a plane trip down to Columbia today to meet with Steve Spurrier. Ellis Johnson is free and available. Guys, any thoughts on any of those guys? Do you think any of those guys will be Gamecocks, or do you think none of them will be?
Let me make two comments. The first one is facetious.
Yes.
It ought to be G-Man. He's the recruiting expert.
Let's make him the recruiting coordinator.
Nice.
But what I would say seriously is I am very curious how much it really is a bidding war. I mean, everybody says Muschamp is out of the country.
Yeah.
He's in the Caribbean or whatever with his lovely bride. And so I don't know how much we're just in a holding pattern and there's, you know, I'm sure there's agents talking or whatever. But the second thing would be Bo Pelini. Really? Do we want Bo Pelini?
Yes.
He just turns me. Oh.
So what?
I know, but excellent you see him whining coach. Up and down the sideline.
Yes, like if our defenses are getting three and outs, yes, I don't care. He can wear a he can bring his cat with him.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, the guy's a good coach. I mean, he's got loads of experience. I'm sure he's got great recruiting ties. Yeah, sure, I'd take him in a heartbeat. And plus, he's got the whole Spurrier connection. He's like a Stoops brother.
He does have that.
Ellis
Johnson at this point just sounds like he wants to be a Walmart greeter. He just wants something to do until he like completely retires, you know.
He's not going to come back and be defensive coordinator. Everybody knows that. He's out, but
Ellis Johnson is going to be a bad guy at Adams Bookstore. Cuz he's on the state retirement, baby.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Go Gamecocks. All right. Yeah. Remember your coupons. Here's the thing with Muschamp. The only leverage we have with Muschamp, and we texted about this a little bit, we're not going to win a bidding war if we really do want him that bad. I think Auburn, if it comes down to money, Auburn's probably got the most money that they can put out there. The one thing we do have is coach in waiting or some sort of assurances that he will be given consideration to be Spurrier's successor. Would you sign up for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think I would too, but I'm a little, I'm not sure. And I know Florida is a different situation than South Carolina, but he didn't exactly light it up down in Gainesville. And that makes me a little hesitant.
He's got a couple years to coach under the HBC. I think that you get the right offensive coaches around him. You get a decent quarterback. I mean, he was sunk down there because he didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah,
yep.
That's what killed him.
And the other thing is he went into a situation where part of his mission was to clean up that penal colony.
Yeah. Right.
And he did that. He did it, man.
And the expectations down there are
right.
ridiculous. Our expectations are higher, but they're never going to be that high.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're happy. If he comes here and wins 8-9 games, we're going to be thrilled. 8 games down there, get you fired.
Yeah.
Right. 2 years removed from a Sugar Bowl, would we fire the coach?
Right. Heck no.
Heck no.
Well, the thing I like about it is there would be a succession plan, and we wouldn't have to go through kind of like what you were talking about earlier. If Spurrier decided tomorrow that he was going to retire, I'd freak out because we've already seen Florida, you know, they've possibly been turned down by Hugh Freeze. It is so much harder to get coaches away from their current jobs anymore because so much money has been being thrown at them to stay. You know, all of a sudden,
the stakes are so high, you can't take chances. So you have to go after an established guy, and he's just going to use you to get a raise.
So what ends up happening is you have to hire a coordinator, or you have to go to the B-level coach who has a good program and
that
bring
you
them
hope
up.
Is going to be a superstar,
right? Like Hugh Freeze, Arkansas State, Gus Malzahn, Arkansas State. That's what you have to do these days.
Yeah,
I mean, rarely do you have a Brett Bielema leave Wisconsin for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Rarely does that happen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do this. And I'm certainly not in charge of this podcast, but let's talk about kickoff next fall. Who we play, what, North Carolina and Charlotte?
Yeah.
Following members of our coaching staff, who's still on our staff then?
Oof.
Deke Adams.
No. Are you going to keep going down the list? Or
I'll see if G-Man had an opinion.
Oh. I thought he was speaking for the blog. No. I have no idea.
Kirk Botkin.
No. And you've named the two guys that I would say no on.
Okay, so you'd say yes, Baby to Grady Brown. I kind of agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean Elliott.
If there's an offensive guy that's not going to be here next year, it's going to be GA.
Yeah, you're right.
I think he's gone. I think he's a little frustrated with his role.
There's been talk he's a candidate from places too.
Yeah, he's definitely interviewing. He definitely
right.
Is.
So if he goes and becomes an offensive coordinator, he ought to take that. I mean, that's a step up for him.
I agree. I'm pulling for GA.
Speaking of offensive coordinators, Clemson inexplicably today named Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott co-offensive coordinators. What, you know, you go from the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country, this rising star in Chad Morris, to
Laurel and Hardy.
What are you doing? That's a win for us. That is a win for us. Why would they not go get a I can't think of the cat's name at Auburn now. His name escapes me. But
but you think that guy, why would he go make a lateral move? Or
it's not a lateral move. I mean, he and Damian Craig are co-offensive coordinators, and they're not calling plays. Gus Buss is calling plays over there. This would give them more autonomy, you know, if they got the chance.
Because the difference is everybody thinks Malzahn's the genius, and nobody thinks Dabo's the genius. Right. You know, so.
Rhett Lashley is the guy's name in Auburn.
Yeah. I hear you, but I mean, I don't see that as. I mean, that's
budget,
that big a
the
move.
The budget in Clemson just got a lot more, you know, relaxed.
Yeah.
They're feeling a lot better at the bottom. But. You know, geez, I don't know how that's going
to
work.
Maybe they got enough money to run through it at what's his name, Venables, try to keep him.
Keep him because, I think they're like Tamu is going to make a charge there.
They're freeing up money to pay for all these surgeries.
Yeah.
all right. Last topic, bowl game possibilities. It looks like we're down to Birmingham and Charlotte. And
up for a road trip?
I'm praying hard for Charlotte. Look, you guys poo-poo Birmingham, and it was an awful game. We still had a good time, right? We had fun, you know, except for the game. Everything except for the game. I thought we had a pretty good time, but
I would. I'm still thawing out, but go ahead.
I would do a day trip over to Birmingham, I think.
Okay, count me in. I'm in.
So that'll take us to.
You guys have fun.
That'll take us to Twitter questions. Jeff Kahrs at Jeff K A H R S. Sights to see in Birmingham. It's Little Mogadishu. So bring rubber boots and mask and, you know, don't touch anything. There's
The Walking Dead. Yeah, right. It looks like
there's a Bear Bryant statue. I think that was the best thing that we saw there. Qnal Das at Q, the letter Q N A L, has multiple questions for us. Friend of the show says, was this year's defense all on coaching or talent? Think of Bill Snyder, who makes one stars look like five stars. Just saying, Whammy and Deke.
Let me answer for the blog. The answer to is it all on coaching or talent? The answer is yes.
Yeah. I think we'll find out next year if it's exactly what it was. Next question, also from Qnal. If HBC said he wasn't coming back, who would you pick if you had a choice between Mark D'Antonio and Gary Patterson?
No question here.
Patterson. Yeah. Likelihood of Braxton Miller transferring here. I think we covered that a little earlier, probably down in the single digits as far as odds, if that high. And then the final question from Qnal, discuss how angry UGA must be that this USC team kept them from Atlanta with three laughing, crying emojis following that. I think they're completely pissed at all three of the games they lost. They lost three of their four major rivalry games.
They did.
You know, us, Florida, and Georgia Tech. And, you know, Auburn, which was probably the best of those four teams, was the only one that they beat. So I did. I tweeted when Missouri won on Friday. I tweeted that photo of the first down marker and said, "Oh, Georgia, you were this close to go into the SEC championship game." Mm-hmm. All right, so regular season over, 6-6. definitely not the season that we expected. If you think about the days leading up to the Texas A&M game back in August, we were thinking, you know, SEC titles and 10-11 wins, things like that. So disappointing season, disappointing finish, but as T-Bone said earlier, we were probably due for something like this to happen, and we just have to hope and pray that the HBC can help us bounce back. And, you know, whether it's talent or coaching, we need to get better across the board. So any final thoughts before we sign off, gentlemen?
I got nothing.
In that case, you know, we were talking about we don't have a – well, we still do have a sign-off. We'll just use the same sign-off we've always been using. What's today? Tuesday as we're taping
Tuesday.
This?
Tuesday.
It has now been 3 days since Clemson last beat South Carolina in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, and we'll talk to you later.
For never to return. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Are you aware the shape I'm in? My hands, they shake, my head, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. When at first I learned to speak, I used all my words to fight with him and her and you and me. Ah, oh, but it's just a waste of time. Yeah, it's such a waste of time. That woman, she's got eyes that shine like a pair of stolen polished dimes. She asked to dance, I said it's fine. I'll see you in the morning time. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Are you aware the shape I'm in? My hands, they shake, my head, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Three words that became hard to say. I and love and you. What you were then, I am today. Look at the things I do. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Are you aware the shape I'm in? Dreams that catch the world, the cage. The highway sets the traveler's stage. all exits look the same. Three words that became hard to say. I and love and you. I and love and you. I and love and you.